Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 62, Episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist! Yeah! The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Googs and social media. It's Thursday, December 20th, 2018. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Pull over that ass to Jack. Whoop, whoop. Pull over that ass to Jack. That's courtesy of Crispy Meme Donut, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
I know Hanukkah's over, but brace yourself for this great song. Miles, 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 I made him out of gray, hanging with O'Brien and Anna Hosnier. Wow! Woo! That is a Hanukkah joint from Andy Kerwin at A. Kerwin. Yeah, you know, I know it's no longer the season, but, you know, I just felt like I wanted to get it in there because it is the holidays.
Yeah, I'm sure people who celebrate Hanukkah are very honored.
Literally,
not at all.
10 days off. 11 days. Hanukkah ended, I think, 11 days
Well,
ago.
It's for next year. Get you guys excited early.
Yeah,
start
thinking
about those Hanukkah presents a little bit early. Well, we're thrilled to be joined by the man, the voice that launched 1,000 podcasts,
woo,
including this one, the hilarious, the inimitable Josh Clark. What's up?
Hello.
Hey.
Hi,
how's it going, man?
It's going pretty good. How's it going over there?
Ooh. I mean, man, the weather here is frightful.
is the fire delightful though?
Yeah, the fire is definitely delightful. It's a frigid, I think, 70 degrees right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I had to Well, hold on, Josh. I had to wear sleeves today. So
Which but they're rolled up though, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, because it's hot in the studio.
To his shoulders. yeah.
I guess you'd call it a tank top.
All right, Josh, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about today. We're going to do Twitter trends up top because there's a couple interesting things trending on Twitter. We're going to talk about Rudy Giuliani needing to be put in a home probably or somewhere safe to just look out for his well-being. We're going to talk about the president of these United States being a Christmas movie villain, because he apparently hates Christmas and likes to spite people on Christmas. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Tucker Carlson losing money and just how broken up we are about that. And Steph Curry continuing to, you know, dig himself deeper as he tries to apologize and make it clear that he totally believes in our space program and did not mean it when he said that everybody involved with it is a fraud. but first, Josh, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Let's see. Most of my stuff is about the end of the world these days and all the ways we are probably going to wipe ourselves out.
But yeah.
The weirdest thing, I guess, in my search history is a recipe for lacto-fermented curried mango ginger chutney.
Wow.
Lacto-fermented curry ginger chutney?
Don't forget the mango. That's the main part.
Oh, okay. So walk me through this.
So I haven't made it yet. I just found this recipe. But have you guys ever like made your own pickles or fermented anything?
I have left orange juice in the refrigerator for 5 months.
it kind of counts. Yeah. This is a little more deliberate than that.
Okay.
But it's kind of the same principle. You just take a bunch of ingredients and put them together in just the right way and add something like, in this case, you would add whey. And it kind of starts to ferment and becomes pickled. And all of a sudden, you have chutney in a couple of days. Uh-huh. I've made pickles. I haven't made the chutney yet, but I'm kind of crazy for this stuff.
Now, is this a survivalist thing? Because you do have a new podcast that is the end of the world. Is this something that keeps particularly well during an apocalypse?
No, I just like...
You just like that?
No, okay, no. This would turn pretty quickly.
Up top, what is the name of the podcast?
It is called The End of the World with Josh Clark, appropriately enough.
And it is very good.
I mean, terrifying. Do you think we're going to upload our consciousness to a mainframe, though?
I don't think so necessarily in our lifetime, but I think it's virtually inevitable.
I want it to be our lifetime.
I mean, it could be. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm not betting on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think, yes, I think if you look at a long enough time span of humanity, yes, that's basically going to happen. Whether it's all humans or just some, I don't know, but I'm banking on it at some point, yes.
Josh, just say it's going to be in our lifetime or Miles is going to be a wreck for the entire Christmas season.
I bought maybe a lot of servers.
I would say by next Hanukkah, Miles.
Oh, thank you.
So within a year, a little less than a year.
Okay. Now, does chutney, when you're making it, does it stink up the refrigerator? I know that the fermented things that I've had in my refrigerator tend to be fragrant and, you know.
Pungent.
No, you want to kind of keep you want to keep them in like a bell jar or something that has like a nice tight seal on it so it doesn't stink up the fridge.
And like 20 feet underwater, like a bell jar.
Because you just keep stuff in your refrigerator in an open bowl, uncovered bowl.
Everything's just in a mixed bowl. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you want to steer clear of that when you're fermenting.
Yes, that's probably a good idea. What is something you think is underrated?
Olives. Olives, I've recently realized, I don't know where it came out, but I think another kind of pickled thing, but I found out that not everybody loves olives, and I've just been walking around my whole life under the assumption that everyone loves olives, and that's not the case. So until every single person on earth loves olives, they're underrated, in my opinion.
Mm. Huh. I hated them as a child, and then I think like maybe 10 years ago, I started really embracing the olive. But it took, it was a Spanish olive that got me to change my stance because I hated black olives.
Yes.
And then I had a green Spanish olive that had anchovy in it. And I was like, oh, this is actually delicious. Yeah. And then now all I drink are like filthy martinis.
Yes.
Like I'm just, olives are my DNA.
You drink filthy cold brew. You have
filthy cold brew,
have
filthy
olive
martinis.
And olive juice in your cold brew.
A little fermented orange juice in there for the place.
Yep.
But anchovy olives are the best you can have with a martini. I would say second to that is like a good blue cheese stuffed olive with a martini.
What's your favorite kind of olive, just, you know, regardless of cocktail accessory? Just if there's an olive that you say is the greatest olive you had, what is it?
I can never pronounce it correctly, but it's like a Cavalstrano, I think is what it's called. It's like a Spanish olive. It's a pretty standard like green olive. And I think Marzetti. like that kind of pickled food company you can find at the store. They have a good Cavalstrano olive for in a jar.
Okay.
Now they owe me some money for the Buzz Market.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
When you guys woke up this morning, did you think that you're going to be talking about olives this much today?
I don't think I ever think about what we're going to end up talking about on this show.
It's always an adventure.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we're talking about olives. What is something you think is overrated?
I don't know. Like, I don't like to yuck anybody's yum or anything like that. So I feel like if I say something is overrated, then somebody's going to say, hey, I think that's super underrated, and I love it.
No, well, right, so Josh, we'll give the caveat that whatever you think is overrated is not an attack on someone's taste.
Right.
It's just your taste.
And by the way, people are going to attack your taste in olives the second they hear this. They're going to be like, you're wrong about olives. They suck,
man. That's fine. Yeah. That's fine. I know my convictions in olives are bulletproof. Yes. So,
All right. We'll come for somebody's convictions then.
Something overrated. I really think reality TV is overrated because this is 2009. Are you into reality TV for real?
I just call it TV.
I gotcha. It's pretty much the case, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's something fascinating about reality. Not that I think it's actually good TV. I think it's mm-hmm. pure Schadenfreude for me. Like,
sure, I gotcha.
I watch 90 Day Fiancé heavy, but I also, part of me when I watch it, I'm like, I become so grateful that I have a functioning relationship, or I begin to see things in like these toxic relationships that slightly mirror like things that I'm familiar with. And I'm like, just a second ago, I was like shit talking this person. And then it made me a little more self-aware of like things I might do.
So that might not be like great. Therapy then.
Yeah. So yeah. What were you saying again about reality TV?
I think it's super underrated. I wanted to get too underrated.
No, I mean, yeah, there's a lot though too that the thing that worries me is that there are people like reality TV does inform some people's perception of certain groups of people or places without taking into consideration how heavily overproduced everything is.
I think that's what bugs me is the exploitation. You know what I mean? It's such a big part of reality TV. You know, get somebody drunk and then talking them into going and confronting their best friend about something, that's just mean. I think that's the thing that bugs me.
Yeah, they do. The drinking is an underrated aspect of reality TV.
Yes.
Overrated.
Right, yeah. Right, which itself is overrated.
I had a friend of mine used to work on that dating show called The Fifth Wheel. I don't know if you remember that.
Vaguely.
Where it was
like that MTV?
No, it was like on like whatever the CW was or like the local affiliate. It was like usually on CW channels or at that time, the WB. Mm-hmm. And it was like a show where there would be two men and two women. And like they would go on a date and then they would switch and see if they were compatible. Kinky. Then they would throw in a fifth wheel.
Whoa.
To shake it up. And then basically it would be like musical chairs where a person didn't end up with a partner at the end. But the whole tactic he was saying is like the second they arrived, they just pulled out like just handles of liquor. And they're like, just please do what you have to do to become comfortable on camera because we're not going to start rolling until you guys are a little bit lubricated.
Right.
So yeah.
That's pretty sophisticated as far as like the show setup goes. I mean, do you remember Blind Date? It was just a blind date that they filmed.
With Roger Lodge? Says,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that actually was a pretty good reality show. Now,
Roger Lodge, actually a very charitable guy. When we had renal prom at my high school, which was for kids with like renal problems, like kidney problems, who weren't able to make their prom.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Roger Lodge came and gave like a speech at the thing, and I was like, yo, it's Roger Lodge from Blind Date.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, and I was the only person stoked about it. And then Mr. Han from Linkin Park spun for 20 minutes on the DJ set.
Is that a thing just that your high school did?
Maybe. I mean, I think it was just a way to host a prom for kids who may have been getting treatment and missed their own dances or whatever, and they didn't need
a
date because we would be the dates for them, and we would get paired up.
Oh, wow.
And then one time, look, full disclosure, we were drinking a little bit before the prom, and one of the dates called out my friend. She was like, you smell like alcohol.
Oh, no. And you didn't include them on the drinking, or they?
They pulled up first. We were drinking Smirnoff Ice in the parking lot.
Got it.
Like real
like
craft.
Gentlemen.
Yeah, like gentlemen 18-year-olds do.
Right.
And then we were mortified.
I actually homebrew my Smirnoff Ice. So.
Just let a Sprite go really bad.
Yeah. Josh, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Oh, I've got a good one.
I bet you do.
If it is a myth that if you punch in your PIN number backwards at the ATM while you're being robbed, it will notify the police to come help you. It's not true.
Okay.
I would be screwed because mine is 1111. So there's no
Have you heard that myth?
I no. had heard that.
Wait, yeah. really? I didn't yeah. even know that was a thing.
Yeah, I think I had heard that, but I'd never really like thought about it, like that it was actually something you could do.
When did you first hear about it, Jack?
I think maybe in college or something.
Huh. Yeah, I never knew that one.
It was just like a thing someone said when we were like planning how to rob people at ATMs.
Right.
Just They're make like, sure they don't put right. your number in back.
Just be like, first out loud, say your PIN number. right. And then right. you punch in the opposite, right. the reverse of that.
There you go.
Right.
Boom.
It'd be really intimidating to be like, don't even waste your time. I know what you're doing.
Right.
Somebody to help you.
Right.
And then you just walk off because you don't want to get caught. It's like, well, robbery failed. Wait, how did you hear about this too, Josh? I'm curious where this even began.
A little place called the internet.
Ooh.
Yes.
Now, how do I there. Get that?
Well, you just go to your local internet store and they will hook you up.
Oh, yeah. I have a stack of Net Zero boot discs, CD-ROMs that I haven't opened up. I surprised. Yeah.
And how did you find out it was false? Just any guess and check? Did you try and get the police out or?
I think the whole thing, honestly, it all began and ended on like Snopes' tweet.
Got it.
I thought you were going to say, well, I was robbed at an ATM. I put it in backwards and showed up.
I was too busy making my own pickles at home to be robbed.
Right. I wonder, because that's not a great strategy because you would be alerting the person to the fact that you were putting the number in wrong, which is
right,
going to make
money
them want to shoot
out.
You. Yeah, it's not like they're like, okay, and this gives out fake money,
right.
and it's traceable.
It's a secret. Yeah, it's plastic.
It's just.
Or what would happen? You'd punch it in and goes, calling police because you are being robbed. right, and you're like, oh, I don't know. This ATM?
How did that happen?
Yeah. At best, it's going to say wrong PIN number,
yes.
and then the robber will be more frustrated.
Yeah.
And then you get pistol
then you get
whipped.
Shot.
And then they're like, yo, don't fuck around, man. I need my money. I need these Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
I was going to say I have another myth that's a little more apropos of today.
Okay, let's hear it.
This one my dad told me, and I don't know because I've never been to Iran myself and seen Laverne and Shirley in person, but I'm almost positive that this is a myth. But when Laverne and Shirley was on originally, or at least on in reruns, like in the early 80s, and I'd watch it with my dad, and he told me multiple times that before Laverne and Shirley came on in Iran, they would show a disclaimer that said that these two women had been put into an insane asylum, that they were now taken care of, and now we can watch them. Like everyone in Iran just couldn't figure out that, you know, this is a sitcom from America. There had to be this disclaimer. So I've never gone and like verified this, but I just
amazing.
Know that to be absolutely wrong.
That sounds like some late 70s, early 80s dad shit.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
But that they
exactly.
just couldn't like conceive of two women who behaved that way.
Right. Those are like the kinds of right. myths that are able to grow before the internet.
Yeah,
right, exactly. Source.
That was like, I remember when the first time someone told me The Simpsons in Japan, they had to draw on a fifth finger because four fingers is like, you know,
bad
offensive.
Luck,
yeah.
Right? Is that true?
Yeah. That they were
true.
Adding fingers, yeah, for certain things that they could for like promotional things.
Wow.
But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, there are things like that where shows get edited overseas. So
yeah.
I don't know, maybe your dad was telling the truth, Josh.
No, I'm pretty sure he was dead wrong.
Yeah.
What about you, Anna Hosene? Do you know anything about this in Iran? Laverne and Shirley?
I've never heard this, but I would believe it was a thing because Iran's really weird like that.
But they would still show like an American show, but just be like, okay, we'll just add this disclaimer and it's all good.
Well, I feel like they would dub it and then they would change what they were saying to make it more like...
Just got out of the insane asylum.
Yeah.
Super producer Anna Hosnier, her family is from Iran. She spent a lot of time
in Iran. Oh,
I didn't
know that.
She's not just saying, Iran's weird based on what I've seen on the news. So I think yes.
Anna, if my dad is right, I need to let him know before he kicks the bucket eventually down the line.
All right, like, I will.
He needs to know.
I'll ask my parents if they ever watched Laverne and Shirley in Iran. They may have already come to America at that point, but I'll ask and I'll get back to you ASAP.
I would sincerely appreciate it. Thank you very much.
No problem.
All right, guys, let's check in.
I had to just correct myself. In Japan, they gave God five fingers for whatever reason.
Gave God five fingers? The Simpsons?
Yeah, like whatever depiction of God or something like that. I don't know.
Imply that our God in our universe has six fingers because their God has an extra finger?
I don't know, man. It's just like a Yakuza thing that they wanted to get away from because, you know, you chop your finger off to show loyalty.
Yeah, the superstition around numbers in Japan. And is it also Japan that has the blood type superstition?
Oh, yeah. Like when they'll, like if you're on a panel show with other celebrities, they'll be like, Jack O'Brien, he's like a B blood type.
Right.
Because then people are like, oh, okay, I know about you.
Right. Right. It's like a horoscope sign or something.
Yep.
All right, guys, let's check in real quick with Twitter and what's trending, because Will Smith is trending, as he always deserves to be. Mm-hmm. Very talented man. But he's trending today because they've released pictures of him playing the genie in the upcoming live-action Aladdin, and I don't know how to describe what I'm feeling about his look. It just looks like him. I don't know. What is it?
It's the shaved head. It looks like...
It's a bad Halloween costume, sort of, like I'm the Sultan for Halloween or something
like
that. Yeah,
it's weird because I feel like if he were... I don't know, the consistency of his chin hair is very straight and silky.
Right.
It's also just odd to see, I don't know, I think it's the facial hair that's really throwing me off, because we've seen Will Smith like with a bicked head before.
Yeah.
But like, it's the hair and the earring. He looks like Mr. Clean doing blackface.
There's something weird going on that like it's uncanny almost, but I don't like it. He has since said, don't worry, guys, I'm mostly a blue CG character during the movie.
Oh, okay.
And also, like Dr. Manhattan,
fully
my
nude.
Penis will be fully exposed throughout most
and
of
knock
the,
buildings down.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I totally forgot. I just been seeing a cropped photo. He's got a top bun, too.
He's got a top. Yeah,
that's
like
what
a
it
weird
is.
Thing going on.
It's his top knot with the chin strap thing. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm looking at Entertainment Weekly's cover and
right.
like it just looks like Will Smith looking kind of weird. But
yes.
I mean,
yeah.
It's got the Will Smith smile and everything going on, and it's a little bizarre. But if you look at the rest of the images from this like first look, it looks like pretty cool looking movie aside from the Will Smith casting.
Yeah. It just seems like maybe they designed the character before casting it, or before like
right.
getting Will Smith in the chair to like do the thing to, and then I don't know. Yeah, just it seems like a dude in a Halloween costume more than it looks like a Hollywood level, iconic talent inhabiting an iconic character.
We've yet to see like an actual trailer, right, for this. It's
no,
only been production stills
yeah.
we're seeing.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm sure he's gonna pull it off.
I mean, I've been a huge Will Smith fan since a child, so I'll wait. I'll reserve. I'll wait till I jump to conclusions. But the hair looks mad weird.
Speaking of Twitter and Will Smith, one of our followers tweeted at us that Bruce Springsteen and Courtney Cox were actually the first people to do the Carlton dance.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and look at the Dancing in the Dark video, we were talking about how Carlton is trying to sue the makers of Fortnite for, you know, appropriating, or no, not the makers of Fortnite, the makers of NBA 2K.
And Fortnite, yeah.
And Fortnite for appropriating the Carlton dance. I still say, though, he's the one who put it in the context, the cultural context.
Sure, but
he deserves the money.
But in a way, it does make sense, right? Because Carlton was sort of the sort of not black character on
right.
Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
So, of course, his dance would right. be, he would be appropriating white culture in his dance.
Right.
So, really, maybe Courtney Cox, I think, and before them, this just looks like to me how white people were dancing in the 80s.
That's just how white people dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, with the overbite and everything, too.
I'm thinking, I'm thinking we have a class action lawsuit here.
Right.
Well, you know, Backpack Kid is suing Fortnite, too, for
the flossing
for
dance.
Appropriating the flossing dance.
Yeah.
They've got like three different dancing lawsuits against them right now.
This is going to be future legal historians are going to be talking about the Fortnite lawsuit glut.
Or the next wave, like, you know, people just like sit on URLs for websites. Like, you try and create dance crazes to hopefully get, like, you know, exploited by Fortnite. Then you can sue them.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right,
so yeah. I'm just going to start. We need a dance that will eventually make it into Fortnite so we can sue.
Right. Jack. Make up a dance that would be appropriate for having just sniped somebody, like, well,
360 no scope. 360 across, no scope.
Yeah, there you go. Paul Ryan is also trending because this is his last day, I guess. He announced, I'm not one of these big ego legacy guys, but he's giving a speech about how, you know, he is one of the all-time greats. And his office today released a 6-part taxpayer-funded hagiography of his relentless drive to pass the first tax reform law in a generation. fuck that guy.
I mean, he's gonna be an afterthought and just known as a terrible, ineffective speaker and enabler of one of the worst, well, actually the worst president ever.
Yes. So,
I get the impression that he knows it too. He seems got a lot of... there's a lot of desperation to this farewell.
Yeah.
This multi-pronged farewell. This has been going on for months now.
Right.
And then the irony, too, is like he was trying to push through a bunch of visas for Irish workers on his way out the door.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
This is what they'll remember.
He's
me
like,
by.
Yeah, I think, look, I made America just a little bit whiter.
Uh-huh. You know? Yeah, yeah.
I'll vote against the Dream Act, but let me try and get a little more Irish worker visas through.
There you go. And then James Harden was trending at various times over the past 24 hours because of a very specific move he tried to pull off and actually did successfully pull off in an NBA game. It was a step back wherein he takes probably 3 steps. He like picks up the ball and steps backwards 3 steps. It's really something you have to see, but he makes it look... I don't know, smooth enough that it almost looks like a cartoon character, like the way he scrambles across the court.
Or like a bad video game animation.
Right.
A sports game.
Yeah.
Where like somehow the foot is still sliding without having their weight on the floor.
Yeah. And then somebody isolated him and put him into the Every Little Step video with Bobby Brown and his backup dancers doing the step dance. And... it's a mess, but I think everybody is, like, that's the trend I've seen in the NBA this year, is the step back has, like, gone to a new level.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic, the Dallas rookie, has this step back that covers, like, half the court. It's crazy.
It's called changing the game.
Yeah.
And the rules.
And now James Harden, you know, can't cover that much ground, but he found a way.
He tried.
Yeah.
And also, shout out to the user who pointed out the Bruce Springsteen thing. At Cockney Devil.
Yeah.
See, you're a West Ham supporter, so he's forever blowing bubbles.
There you go. I don't know what that means at all.
That's what the West Ham supporters think.
Okay. Well, we are going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and... Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and let's talk about Rudy Giuliani, guys.
Oh, rude boy Giuliani, the rudest lawyer in town, and can we call him a lawyer at this point? He's a guy who is pretending to be a lawyer and is constantly exacerbating problems and not even making points that make any legal sense.
Right.
And it got really good this
weekend.
But he
talks about law stuff, so therein
right.
He's like a WWE character who is a lawyer.
Right,
like
right.
He talks
right.
about law stuff.
Right. He's like, and here comes Legal Eagle into the room, right, into the right. ring. He's got a briefcase and an amicus brief.
Yes.
Over the weekend, you know, he was doing his weekend dementia tour of news outlets, and he went on CNN and was basically talking about, you know, he kept going on and on about, he was making those points about how Flynn was set up, which that take didn't age well at all. Then he said another thing about how Trump and how he's really not Russian, has nothing to do with Russia ever, didn't do anything with Russia, I guess. And he said up until November 2016, they could have had a conversation about Trump Tower Moscow, meaning the Trump camp and the Russians, and it went nowhere. It was a real estate project. There was a letter of intent to go forward, but no one signed it.
Right. A letter of intent's nothing. Nobody
yeah,
signed it.
Exactly.
Didn't
smash cut to Chris Cuomo on Tuesday night, literally holding the receipt up to the camera
right.
and being like, Rudy, here is the letter of intent signed by Donald Trump. And at this point, we all know Donald Trump's signature because it looks like his messed up EKG reading.
Right.
And it was just like, it's just there. It's all there. And this isn't anything new because, first of all, Michael Cohen and Donald Jr. testified in front of Congress and said the letter of intent was signed. They're just saying like, it, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So again, I don't know if they just don't even know how to lie anymore or whatever, but this isn't a new point, and we've always suspected that this was going on and knew this was happening. It was just funny that it was just the evidence was just so clear this time where you're like, no, this never happened. Cut to I'm holding up the agreement being signed.
Right.
From what I saw, Rudy Giuliani then came on and said, of course Trump signed the letter of intent.
Yeah.
What? It's a letter of intent. Of course he would sign it.
Yeah.
Truth is not truth.
Well, what he did was he actually went further. He goes, he said it was fine because the letter was, quote, bullshit.
Uh-huh.
He said it didn't because it didn't go anywhere. And he's like, that was the end of it, you know? And this is a quote. It means nothing but an expression of interest that means very little unless it goes to a contract, and it never did.
But
yeah.
So this is all about the Trump Tower Moscow, which was being negotiated all through the 2016 presidential election up through, I think,
November of 2016.
Yeah.
Quite possibly.
Up through the election. And that's why people think it's weird, because they were exchanging all sorts of favors. They were, you know, doing little things like helping him get elected president of the United States. And he was, you know, telling them not to worry about those sanctions and going behind the back of the sitting U.S. president.
Yeah.
And people are like, wait, and they were in the midst of this like business deal?
Right, and the whole campaign trail literally saying, I don't know Russia.
Right.
I have nothing to do with Russia. I don't know Russia.
Right.
What's Russia?
Right. Okay, hey, Russia, if you're listening.
But then, hey, Russia, yeah. if you're listening, I love it.
Right.
But also, I don't know Russia. I don't know anything to do with Russia. And then he even knows a little bit of Russian. Because remember those, like, video clips of him, like, speaking Russian kind of well?
No. Like, yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he learned it just, like, as part of, like, a PR thing. But, like, he said this thing pretty – I was impressed because I don't really give him any credit for any kind of skill. But he surprisingly had a little bit to say in Russian pretty clearly. But I think when you also look at – the actual letter of intent, like sort of what this deal looked like, they were possibly going to make hundreds of millions of dollars if this thing happened, like from licensing and all this other shit. So when you're looking at that, this is a deal that the Trump organization has never made ever in the history of its organization. This would have been the single largest deal the Trumps ever like put together.
The Trump organization.
Yeah. Some suspect you could have combined all the other deals in the past and it still wouldn't add up to what could have potentially been made had the Trump Moscow Tower been a thing.
Right.
So wow. When you look at that and you go, oh, okay, so there's your carrot.
Right.
And then like you're saying, it's like, okay, so money for Trump plus help to swindle the election equals no sanctions for Russia.
Yeah.
I think you can see what the dynamics here are. And even if there was no, the deal didn't go anywhere, there's clearly a letter of intent for it to go somewhere.
Right.
But again, you know, what do we know? We're just podcasters who wildly but then, speculate.
Isn't that saying something also then that he would have bent over backwards and did all the stuff that he did and compromised himself and went on to national TV in the debates and talked about how great Russia is and how we should, you know, take it easy on him. And then he still didn't get the Trump Tower. Like Putin still was like, nah, thanks a lot, chump.
Yeah, maybe that could have been the masterwork of Putin where he's like, I will just draw you in just enough that I have you basically in my hand.
Right.
And mm-hmm. then blow the deal up and I'm hopefully can still get what I want. I mean, it's again.
Well, I think they didn't go through with it because he got elected. Like, I think most of this was based on the idea that he wasn't going to get elected. And then they once all of the shit started coming out, they realized it would look bad is
but,
the sense that
but
I
they that need him to like get elected, Trump, though, for him to lift the sanctions. Like, there's no point.
That's a good point.
There's no reason for them to help him become the president because it's not like Hillary was going to lift the sanctions.
Right.
So that's where it gets interesting. But again, that's like the compromat part where now it's like, oh, we have a lot of documentation of all this stuff, whatever. I mean, who knows what else it is. But yeah.
Plus something not looking good. It doesn't seem to be like really Trump's MO, concern. You know?
Yeah.
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 Right.
Yeah. Well, speaking of his concern over things that don't look good, apparently people who are in the know and kind of familiar with Giuliani behind the scenes and Trump's thinking said that the reason Giuliani didn't go like from, you know, being out there and stumping for Trump during the election to being part of his administration right away was because Trump was worried about how much he's drinking. And there's all sorts of sort of behind the scenes things suggesting that Giuliani, like people said that they saw him at a bar before one of his appearances on one of the
like
TV
CNN,
shows.
I think.
Yeah,
right.
On CNN. And he was like, I don't have a recollection of whether I went to the bar before or whether I went after. It's, you know, so,
he's always leaned back.
Right.
In those interviews.
Yeah,
he's very comfortable.
Yes. So,
he also says like really crazy stuff too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild stuff that doesn't, it's almost like each sentence doesn't have any conception of what the other sentences were.
Right. But I guess that getting a drunk person caught in an argument when you have them dead to rights, saying truth isn't truth seems like something that would come out
of
a person.
Of course.
But truth isn't truth.
And you can't win an argument with a drunk person because they just keep changing the grounds on which you're having the conversation. And that is essentially what it's been like listening to Rudy Giuliani.
And that's why drunken boxing is the deadliest form.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
It's like, you know, there's how do I nail this person down? You're too wobbly.
Right. It's like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. Well, It is the Christmas season, as Miles acknowledged earlier when he sang the Hanukkah song.
Whoa. Let's say holidays.
It's the holiday season. But I think so this next story is about how the president feels about Christmas, because he made it one of his key platforms that we are going to bring back the phrase Merry Christmas, because, you know, we've all been trying to get that phrase out of existence. The war on Christmas is real. It's intense. We are fighting it through propaganda out here in Hollywood. We just don't want Christmas to ever be said out loud. And Trump took pride in the fact that he was bringing Christmas back. But apparently Trump like hates Christmas, according to everybody who has, you know, been around him during the Christmas season. He's still using the, like, I'm bringing Merry Christmas back to try and get money from his supporters.
He sent out the evangelicals that he courts all the time, who still claim that he's a Christian despite not knowing anything about Christianity or going to church, but okay.
But they just sent out an email with President Trump in the White House. America is once again saying Merry Christmas. But a report came out this week about how much Trump hates the White House Christmas parties, which is weird because he loves hosting parties. But one of the sources who are close to him theorized that because Christmas parties aren't about him, like they are like specifically.
You're fucking kidding me.
Yeah, they're not like Trump parties. They're not. It's not a birthday party for him. It's for right. Jesus.
Who the fuck is this Christ guy?
Right. And White House staffers say he regards presidential Christmas parties with a special loathing and goes out of his way to escape early. At one point last year, he was heard openly complaining about having to take photos with people at the White House Christmas party, which apparently does suck. You have to like wait while people just line up and take photos with you.
Are you saying that based off our one meet and greet?
No. No, I'm saying that based off of a scene from Veep. I loved our meet and greet.
Yeah, no, I'm fucking around.
And at one point, like during the lineup, which presidents have done since the early 60s, it's just part of the job, but you know, it's you just shake hands with people and smile and take picture after picture. But at one point, Trump spotted Mike Pence and forced him to take his place in the lineup.
Wow.
And just like left with Melania.
Well, you'd think Trump would like the photo thing just because it really does, like in the most physical sense, make him the focal point of something.
Right.
But I guess it's more just like he doesn't get to like rant at people and they tell him how great he is. I mean, maybe when they approach, like, oh my God, thank you so much. It's an honor. Photo next.
But that's like, I mean, they literally set up a hotline that we talked about on yesterday's show that is just for strangers to tell him thank you. So, I mean, he loves people kissing his ass.
But I guess it's because Jesus is the reason for the treason.
Exactly.
That he doesn't like that.
They're wearing different red hats that are not specifically honoring him. They're honoring a different tradition. The White House official in this article said, this year's been a lot better because the photo line hasn't been as long because they've had so many parties this year. Well, but sure, that's the reason the photo line isn't quite as long.
Well, he canceled the one for the journalists.
Right.
Right? So then, so this is like the one for just like staffers, like the office party, basically, for the White House.
Yeah, and for, you know, big donors.
Right.
All that shit. And yeah, they did cancel the press one, but because they went out of their way to point out that they will let press and their family do tours of the White House Christmas decorations. So that's cool, during open house hours.
Okay.
So that was nice of them. But it kind of goes deeper than just him hating those parties. He apparently like doesn't buy people gifts for Christmas. He just re-gifts shit that people give him that he never likes. He like never likes a present that he's ever gotten. One year, Donald Trump Jr. Gave a monogrammed gift to his dad he bought for him. And Trump the next year re-gifted it back to Donald Trump Jr.
What?
And Donald Trump Jr. was like, I'm pretty sure you didn't buy this for me this year like you're saying, Dad. And he was like, how do you know that? And he's like, I gave it to you last year. For Christmas.
No. Oh, he's like, there's also not a junior on there. Right. That's your name. That's your legal name.
Yeah.
But then they go on to say that apparently Trump gives Don Jr. all the monogram shit.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I don't want it here. This is also your name, so be grateful.
I think just the idea of getting free stuff is, you know, he only wants the best, most expensive stuff.
You know what's funny?
Stuff that he stole.
Yeah, I can't imagine, aside from golf stuff, what his interests really are. That, like, you can imagine a gift to get Donald Trump.
Yeah. Amphetamines.
Adderall, Big Mac, I guess that, what was that?
Yeah, like, McDonald's gift card for thousands and thousands
or
of
like
dollars.
What was the little, Little Tykes, like McDonald's playset type thing? Maybe he could pretend he worked the drive-thru.
Yeah. But I think basically just golf stuff.
Amphetamines, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
According to a really cool open mic stand-up comedian, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Well, no, but an open mic stand-up comedian who worked on The Apprentice for a number of years and said that Trump is always snorting Adderall. And apparently there are other people who will confirm that off the record.
Really?
Yeah.
And then the doctor, his prescriptions, he was getting prescribed, like, uppers in the 80s.
Yeah, there's stuff going back to the 80s where he has, like, you know, up go pills that he was prescribed from that crazy-looking doctor who the Secret Service just went and raided his medical records because they were worried about something getting out from there. We're not totally sure what.
Wow.
Yeah. So it would make sense of, you know, his erratic, you know, all hours of the night, crazy addled behavior.
But isn't he like famously anti-drug, anti-drinking, like just looks down on anybody who's on drugs or drinks or smokes or whatever?
He is, although he's also had parties where people have said that he's like specifically talked about there being cocaine at his parties. I think it's drinking in particular that he's really against because of some family history there. But also it's easy for me to imagine that he's in the same category as Elvis, where he won't take any illegal drugs, but he abuses the shit out of drugs that are prescribed to him from like some, you know, enabling doctor. So
did you ever hear the story about Elvis's like crew having to keep him from going out and shooting drug dealers around Memphis because he gets so worked up at the idea?
No, what?
Yeah, so he would get kind of messed up himself, and this is a story. I wasn't there, so I don't know if it was fact, but I've heard this multiple times over my life that Elvis would get pretty high, and he would start talking about how it would just like get under his skin that there were drug dealers out there in Memphis, you know, selling drugs, and he was going to do something about it. And he would like get one of his guns or whatever, and his crew would have to be like, no, King, you know, let's do something else. Let's go play some music or something. And they'd have to like basically get the gun away from him and like calm him down and distract him. Wow. And I said, I've heard that story before, but I know he reached out to Nixon to say like, you know, I want to be a DEA agent. Why don't you deputize me? You know, I can kind of get in with the hippies or whatever. They'll probably trust me.
He wanted to be Nixon's number one undercover drug czar, which was not a position. It was a position he had made up. But yeah, he wanted to like basically inform on the Beatles. He specifically called out the Beatles for like using marijuana. But meanwhile, he was so high that he showed up like in a cape with a handgun to meet the president.
Right. But that was a gift, right, for Nixon?
Yeah, a golden handgun that he brought to the president. Like the Jack, what's it called, joke, where it's like, I bet a good gift for the president would be a chocolate handgun. And since he's really busy, you'd have to run up and give it to him really quick. Jack Handy. Anyways, so then there's this other great story from back in the day. 1981, Trump bought an apartment building that he wanted to tear down to put up luxury condos, as he does. And part of his company strategy involved making the place just completely unlivable. Like, he had to get the tenants out, so he had to make it completely unlivable. And he conducted an actual literal war on Christmas that year in that apartment building, banned all Christmas decorations from the lobby, claimed that it was because they would violate people's religious freedom. So like they weren't allowed to put up a Christmas tree for multiple years. And like one of the tenant representatives was like, this is really like, there's a lot of old people who don't have family. This is really their only chance to share in the holiday spirit. Can
right,
you please
right.
just put up one Christmas tree? And he was like, no way. And kept like all Christmas decorations away from this building. He sent eviction notices and threats of eviction to tenants between December 26th and New Year's Eve, filed a baseless eviction proceeding against a tenant the day after Christmas that year, and the tenant's heating hadn't worked for three consecutive winters. And he threatened six tenants with eviction if they didn't reverse apartment alterations done with permission like years earlier.
Well, at least he respects Christmas Day and New Year's Day.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
No respect for Boxing Day.
Right.
Or Christmas Eve.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's odd that, you know, I mean, because he clearly doesn't care about Christianity or the even the anti-Semitic roots of the war on Christmas in general. But like, yeah, whatever it takes to just harass people.
Right.
He doesn't care. Nothing's real to him unless it's Don Miss, the real Christmas.
Right. Yeah. It's just too much focus. It takes people's eye off the ball, being him.
Right. God, could you imagine being insecure about Jesus?
Yeah, that's like a new level of, yeah.
Your fucking ego, man. Like, wow.
Unbelievable.
Like, that's, shout out to your ego.
Why is everybody talking about him?
Who the fuck is this guy?
Guy's dead. Look at him.
Yeah, he's dead. Look at him.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get back to more War on Christmas stuff.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and Tucker Carlson is just the man. No, he's also engaged in winning the war on Christmas for Christians, and this is really blurring the line between reality and SNL sketch at this point.
Yeah, he started off a show, or at one point had a very long segment about, you know, what the heck is going on with the holidays.
Right.
And this is a really interesting take on a very popular holiday confection that most of us enjoy.
Yes.
So listen to this take on the gingerbread, the people of Gingerbreadia.
The war on Christmas is a global struggle. In the Parliament of Scotland, they have a national parliament. The coffee shop has stopped selling gingerbread men. Why? Gender specific. They're now called gingerbread people. You don't want to give them a gender without their consent. You don't even want to know how many bathrooms there are in gingerbread houses now. A lot.
And now I've been starting to think about the complicated structure of gingerbread houses because of your comment. I'm just wondering how many bathrooms can they get into one house? But look, here is the problem. And it just proves, of course, our point in general. The left has worked now for a couple of generations to condition us to ahead of time worry about what we're going to say.
Wow.
There's a guy named Swan of the Dab on Twitter, Sean Seven Swans a Swimming Kelly is his current display name, who tweeted way back in the day, "I am truly excited for the first conservative to make a it's a gingerbread man take." He tweeted that actually just back in November of this year. And wouldn't you know it?
Lo and behold, unto us a gingerbread man.
Right.
Do you think you would have got upset if it was a gingerbread woman?
I don't know. It's just
there's no skirt.
Right.
There's no apron.
Right.
So it's not a woman.
Yeah.
This is clearly a man.
Also, they make their houses out of the same material as their bodies, as somebody pointed out. So that's that's fucked up. Like, but if you're going to nitpick, that's...
Yeah. Welcome to my home. It's made of bone and sinew.
Right.
And you're like, oh.
Jesus Christ.
This is not a home. This is a collection of remains. Yeah, but, I mean, look, it's a tough time for him because he's kind of scrambling right now for things to talk about that won't get him... like a total loss or a desertion of sponsors.
Yeah, so it's been a tough week for him, right?
Yeah. I mean, so last week he had a really Tucker Carlson take on immigration. It's like immigrants make America dirtier and poorer. Like, wow, you can't even get creative anymore with your xenophobia. You're just literally being like, dirtier and poorer.
Right.
And of course, that was going to lose him some sponsors. What? I don't even know what universe he thinks he's in, but again, it's Tucker Carlson. So... then he like doubled down and was like, look, I'm not going to get intimidated. So far, just in the last week, he's lost. The recent departures of sponsors or enablers have been Pacific Life, Bowflex, Indeed, Minted, Nerd Wallet, Smile Direct Club, Voya Financial, Ancestry.com, Land Rover, Zenni Optical, IHOP, and Just for Men.
That is
a lot of sponsors.
That is the best marketing for those companies that I can think of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, NerdWallet has a really cool commercial. I just know, trust the nerds. And I'm like, for what? But I guess it's about using points for your card the best way.
Yes, I kind of want a Bowflex now.
Yeah, right? It's been a while.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, yeah, Bowflex.
It's Bowflex like a, used to be like, the 80s. Bowflex was like a real goal for people. I remember in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just seeing that, like, it would be like a man working out against a beige canvas.
Right.
Like as a backdrop with no shirt on, you're like, get the V-shaped torso of a man.
Yeah. By the way, that observation about that was a tweet from Sweatpants Cher. She said, are we supposed to just accept that gingerbread men live in houses built from the flesh of their fellow men? that's maybe a better point to be worrying about, Tucker. But now this is becoming a weird, like, people who I like Nate Silver was tweeting like, are we really gonna stop advertising on shows that just offend one side or the other? Doesn't that lead us to like straight down the middle only political stuff? And it's like, I don't know, man.
That's there's no use to what Tucker Carlson is saying,
right?
And you don't want to. And if anything, it offends people for very clear reasons, that are like reasonable consumers. But, you know, at least, you know, he still has Hobby Lobby, Papa John's, and Suspiciously Looking at Your Brown Neighbors Through Your Blinds as presenting sponsors. So, yeah, those are, you know, they're still rocking big.
Right.
And but that has set off kind of this like culture war again, because that's what he loves. He's a culture war veteran of like, you know, Fox. they puffed their chest up and said, it is a shame that left-wing advocacy group, under the guise of being supposed media watchdogs, weaponized social media against companies in an effort to stifle free speech. We continue to stand by and work with our advertisers through these unfortunate and unnecessary distractions.
Huh.
That's odd. I mean, he can still say what he wants to. You don't have a right to Land Rover's money to right. say xenophobic garbage on TV.
Yeah.
But again, this is the free market, my man.
Yeah.
Right?
Isn't that what? Capitalists.
Anyway,
the right wing.
And then, yeah, then Tucker Carlson also had another take on this whole thing of just saying the left says we have a moral obligation to admit the world's poor, even if it makes our country more like Tijuana is now, which is to say poorer and dirtier and more divided. Wow, he couldn't even step it back. He had to double down on his comments of poorer and dirtier.
Oh, that's not even the original comment?
No, that's him coming back and just being like, I guess we have to say it, even with what I said is true.
Right.
But, you know, yeah. Indeed, apparently, was a huge loss to Fox, though. They had a huge ad buy, and them losing Indeed will hurt them a little bit, so.
Did all of those advertisers leave Fox or just Tucker Carlson's show?
They're leaving Tucker Carlson's show, and then some are leaving Fox entirely.
Wow.
So it's a mix of people, but yeah.
Where are people who watch Tucker Carlson going to find their international houses of pancakes?
Well, I mean, just watch like Shepard Smith or something, because they'll still advertise on his show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Well, he's the closest thing to a centrist that network has from what I can tell.
No, he's like the one person who like will have to be like, I'm sorry. I know what people on either side of my show are saying, but what they're saying is wrong.
Right. He was the one who came out after the Flynn sentencing. With the when the judge made Michael Flynn and his lawyers walk back their claims that Michael Flynn was duped into lying to the FBI. He was tricked by the FBI, and that's why he was railroaded into this Mueller probe. That Shepard Smith came out and said it's done. Like there's no ambiguity any longer. This is like he clearly knew he was lying to the FBI and he knew that was wrong. So this whole narrative that the Trump administration has been playing up this whole time, it's done. It's been blown up.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that's what he always loves to do. And even like I remember with the caravan during the midterms, he goes, "There is no caravan coming right. to storm the border."
Right.
These are groups of people who are seeking asylum. We do not need the military there. This is just all a setup for the midterm elections. Like he'll always have those moments like every now and then where he basically has to be like, let me just try and destroy this narrative that's being pushed on the network today.
That's got to be very surreal as a Fox News viewer to just have this moment of reality that just punctures it in the middle of the day.
Especially so calm too. Well, because what they do is like, it's like news up to like 5 o'clock right. and it's opinion.
Right.
And then that's where it gets murky. But what's funny to me, even like, as you say, Josh, like the idea of being tricked into lying about something.
Right.
Right. That was the narrative.
Like, what? Huh? If anything, you could be tricked into admitting something that you didn't know was going to be damaging to you down the road.
Right.
Not like, they tricked me into lying.
Right.
Not like I'm trying to deceive someone. That's where, anyway, that's another logic pretzel for us.
Uh-huh. Anyways, by the way, Shep Smith, I think, makes like $20 million a year. And I was trying to like figure out why that is, because couldn't you just get anybody to go there and tell the truth? But it requires that person to like both be okay with being on Fox News while also having like a grasp on reality.
Yeah.
So like it's a very specific type of like compromised that you need to find.
Yeah, well, he's more of kind of, I think, like, I mean, he still has other weird viewpoints on like legislation or whatever.
Yeah, but, oh no, yeah. For sure.
But it's like, it's weird when things kind of go off the rails fully, he typically is like, sorry you're listening to this channel that right. is saying a bunch of weird stuff. I'm ashamed, but I'm going to at least have some, a shred of dignity on this little show. But it really has no effect because, again, on either side of him, everything he's saying is being torn down, and they're just pushing more wacky conspiracies.
Well, it's like you said, everything is a culture war, and how can you get anything done anywhere, anytime, ever, if everything is just divisive? Like, even issues that people could come together on are just divisive because of the way that they're presented, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, they have a tough time on Fox dealing with reality.
Hey, speaking of having a tough time dealing with reality, Steph Curry said some more. So basically the way that he has dealt with the fallout from claiming that that he's a moon hoaxer was obviously, I don't like any apology that starts with obviously.
Yeah, that's not obvious. It was obvious that you said that you believed the moon landing probably didn't happen.
Obviously, I was joking when I was talking on the podcast. That was not obvious at all. And in fact, it sounded like you were completely serious. Then he said, I was silently protesting how stupid it was that people actually took that quote and made it law as, oh my God, he's a fake moon landing truther, whatever you want to call it, yada, yada, yada. So I was silently protesting that part about it, how the story took a life of its own. I guess he's talking about like why he didn't like come out and explain himself more clearly.
My protest is to let the people continue taking my words seriously because I said them out loud in a serious manner.
Right. And in a way that was clearly not joking.
And in protest against people's observations of my wacky take, I chose to not clarify my words. To protest their jumping to conclusions?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But then whenever he talks to NASA, he sounds like a sane and reasonable person. So
yeah.
He might just be like a dude who, you know, when he gets around his wild friends with wild takes, he likes to get worked up. But then when, you know, he's talking to NASA, because he accepted an invitation to visit NASA and interviewed retired astronaut Scott Kelly on an Instagram live video and said of his original remarks, I'm honestly, genuinely sorry of how that came across. So, yeah.
And then, but then he says more Steph Curry nice guy stuff. He's like, it's important for me to understand, one, the magnitude of the things that I say in my comments and how much weight they carry, no matter if I'm joking or not. But totally honor that in every situation I put myself. The sense of national pride in how that exploration for mankind has pushed boundaries and limits of what is possible, you know, pushed our imagination for what we can accomplish. I do not want in any way, shape, or form demean the significant accomplishments that you, when he's talking about Scott Kelly, and the people you work with on a daily basis, make a reality. So he's like the really nice kid.
Right.
He wants to fit in with the dumb guys.
Right.
And when they're talking about the moon landing, he's like, yeah, man, the moon landing, yeah, that shit's fake. And then like his parents are like, what did I hear you say? Nothing. I would like in no shape, way, or form for this to be like,
yeah.
I have a feeling he really, I don't know. Do you think he's the guy who he was just in with the wrong crowd of people with bad takes on science and just didn't want to be the odd man out? Do you think he really, he believes that there was no moon landing?
I get the sense he had not thought that much about it. And had been like, yeah, what if it is hoaxed? Like, what if it is a hoax? Because I've seen that one picture, and that one picture is a little weird looking.
Right.
And that was the extent to which he had thought about it. And he was on the podcast, and, you know, other NBA players were saying they thought it was faked. And he was like, yeah, you know, I kind of do too, and hadn't really thought about it. And now, like, that he has taken a hard look at it, he probably is sensible enough to realize.
I mean, that. I would, if I'm on a podcast with Vince Carter, I'll agree with everything he says.
Yeah, me too.
Just in general, I'm such a fan.
Just
I'm
like, yeah. Dunk contest.
Yep. Moon landing fake. Mm-hmm. Building 7. What happened there, Vince? I don't know, man. You tell me. can jet fuel burn steel beams? I don't know, Vince.
I saw a great tweet once from, I wish I could remember who sent it, but it was the idea that Kubrick faked the moon landing. It's just so preposterous because he definitely would have done a retake when Neil Armstrong flubbed that line about one small step for man.
Right. Yeah. Because that it was supposed to be something different, right?
I think it's for a man.
For
it
a man. Should have been
one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind.
Yes, that makes sense. But
yeah,
man, the way it is, the way we all have heard it, doesn't actually, man and mankind are the same thing.
He's the original Kevin Garnett of fucking up the moment to do the flex quote where he's like, anything is possible. And they're like, no, it's Adidas and it's impossible is nothing. He just said, anything is possible. And all the Adidas ad people were like head slapped at the same time. Like, anything is possible. God.
Well, I guess we have a new catchphrase now.
Yeah, not impossible is nothing, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, Josh, it's been a pleasure as always having you, man. Where can people find you?
They can find me on the internets at Josh Clark, And I started a hashtag for my solo podcast. It's hashtag EOTW Josh Clark.
Nice.
All right. That's a catchy hashtag. Well tagged, well hashed. And you're also on Stuff You Should Know,
yep.
which continues to be a great podcast.
A juggernaut.
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Is there a tweet that you've been enjoying?
I'm going to go with that one about Stanley Kubrick doing a retake.
That's a good one. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. There's two tweets I like. First one is from our very own Naomi Ekperigin, who says, whenever I watch movies, I get too focused on the property damage. It's like, who is paying for all this? And then another one is from at Continental Breakfast, or display name Trey. He says, making new Oreo products used to be so easy. It was just like, let's add more cream in the middle. Now it's like, how can we make this Oreo taste like the Avengers?
I had that too.
Aha!
Yeah, that's a good one. Although I do like Avengers Oreos. They're so good.
Wait, is there Avengers?
No, I don't.
It's like, yeah, do they taste like?
The Iron Man Oreo. Ooh. So good.
Like a mouthful of pennies.
No, I do like special Oreos, though. The lemons, the birthday cakes. The
apple pie.
Apple pie.
Apple pie's all right.
And then another tweet I enjoyed was from at Advil. He just got Advil's...
Wow.
Thing, I guess.
That's a flex.
He said, my favorite thing in the world is responding to my hateful messages and seeing how fast I can change their mood. And then he just screen capped this conversation where a guy tweeted at him and said, shut the fuck up and go back the fuck wherever you came from then, pussy. And he responded, you look really nice in your icon. What do you use to whiten your teeth like that? And the guy said, I'm really nice usually. I'm just a little sick right now, I guess. My girlfriend does it. I don't really prefer it, but I liked the pic. I like your facial hair, by the way. Wish I had some. And then he was like, I use activated charcoal capsules, pull them apart, and brush with them. It looks, tastes weird, but it works. And then the guy's like, where does one get those? He's like, any drugstore, like CVS. Appreciate it. Well, sorry to have been rude, man. Have a good night. And he goes, sleep well, homie. Love you. The other guy goes, love you too. Good night. It's like the greatest 180 ever. All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode. We'll also link off to Josh's new podcast that will scare the shit out of you. We also link off to the song we ride out on, Miles. What's that going to be?
I think last week we did a Sam Gendel song that was Pure Imagination with like the Willy Wonka song, but the lo-fi version. There's another track from Sam Gendel called Boa, B-O-A. And it's like, it's very lo-fi. It's got a little saxophone in it. And it's just a nice little sax track because I just want to, we have to ease into this holiday weekend. So I want to relax with a little saxophone. So this is Boa by Sam Gendel.
All right. We are going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then.
Bye.
Bye.
Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.